On Friday evening, Thomas and I were blessed to join two friends who took us to hear the Boston Baroque's performance of Handel's Messiah. It was a revelatory experience. I have heard this piece, both live and recorded, multiple times. I think it was the one piece of classical music that was played at Christmas time in my house growing up over and over and over again throughout the season. But there was something fresh and exciting about this particular performance, and it made me feel during parts of it that I was hearing it for the very first time. During the intermission, we were peering over the balcony railing, trying to see if we could find another friend who had told us he was going to be there that night. Thomas suddenly thought he saw him. His back was turned to us, though, and with the unusual perspective of looking down at the top of someone's balding head, we couldn't really quite tell if it was he. I don't think so, I said. It is, Thomas persisted. We watched a while longer. This person didn't turn around the whole time his back was to us. Some of his hand gestures were very familiar. His hair seemed a bit whiter than our friend's, and he seemed thinner, but I knew my friend had been going back to exercise regularly. Finally, I thought, no, yes, Thomas insisted, I will bet you $1,000. Ooh, I was tempted, but I did not take the bet, and no sooner had I made that decision than Thomas spotted our friend on the other side of the hall, coming back in from the lobby. And the person we were staring at so intently as he turned around was not the one we thought he was. Are you the one to come, or are we to wait for another? Today we see John the Baptist peering intently at Jesus and asking that question. Of course, John can't really see Jesus. He cannot even see the back of his head. He is more than a balcony away. He is sitting in a prison cell. He's been arrested by Herod, the king, because his prophetic words about the coming of a new king, a heavenly kingdom, have proved too threatening to the earthly powers that rule. So John sends his disciples to ask that question, "Are you the one to come?" And what is at stake is not the wager of a $1,000 bet, or who can claim to be the winner of a playful game played at intermission. What is at stake is all that John has come to believe about God and God's plan to create a new reign, a reign of justice and peace. What is at stake is John's very life. Now, if you were here last week, you heard and saw a John the Baptist who sounded very different. He was at the beginning of his ministry, and with clarity and conviction and with utter assurance, John's message that the Messiah was coming, he was about to make himself known to God's people, and that this new Messiah was going to bring about the longed-for change, release for the captives, good news for the poor, and the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. And John may have had a particular understanding of how that new reign was going to manifest itself. But as Jesus carried out his ministry amongst the hills and villages of Galilee, it may not have seemed as if the new kingdom was actually coming. There did not seem to be a kind of radical reshaping of the powers and principalities. Maybe John, who himself told his followers not to presume, ended up presuming too much about who this Jesus was going to be. Are you the one to come, or are we to wait for another? There were things that Jesus said and did that suggested that he was indeed the fulfillment of the prophet's dreams. Some of his gestures, the words, the stance, you might say, were recognizable to anyone familiar with the Hebrew scriptures. I think he is the one, I'm sure, some people were beginning to say. But other things about him were not so familiar. There were healings, there was a stirring of hope, But a massive shift of power, that was not happening. So John sends his disciples to ask, and Jesus gives an answer, and as is so often the case with Jesus, it is not a direct answer. Jesus doesn't say, yes, I'm the one. Instead, he says this, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news preached to them. Now, if you hear in those words an echo of the reading from Isaiah this morning, then you've been paying attention to the lessons. Jesus is using the language of the prophets, the language about what this new realm will look like. And Jesus is saying to John and John's followers, look and listen, see all the ways in which life is being restored through my ministry. See that eyes are being opened, ears have been unstopped. Look to those who have been bent over by shame or oppression and see them standing up and rejoicing. Yes, Herod still reigns. But another reality is emerging, and it is the reality of God's reign. And you can see it, you can hear it, and you can experience it. A new creation being made real in the midst of the old. A few weeks ago, late one night, watching a few minutes of television, I came upon, of all things, a documentary about deer, white-tailed deer. I know something about them, having lived for a while in Vermont, but I learned something new about them in this show, something I more or less knew but didn't know there was a name for it. They are an ecotone species. An ecotone species. That is to say, their ideal habitat is an ecotone. And what is an ecotone? It is any area where two different habitats or two different biomes meet, a kind of boundary area, a transition area. So for deer, that ideal habitat is where the wooded forests meet more open spaces of pastures, meadows, or suburban backyards. That's an ecotone. One might say that as the followers of Jesus, we are meant to be an ecotone species because we are always living in a transition area where the old creation is still present in some ways, but where God's new creation is breaking forth in our midst. The kingdom of heaven, which Jesus invites us into, is not a far-off place in the distant future, but it is a realm which is making itself manifest today. It's that realm where we're going to be surprised. A realm where a woman with an illness for 18 years is cured. A realm where a wounded man on the road looks up and sees the person whom he has been taught is his enemy, a Samaritan, is bandaging his wounds. It's the realm where a poor girl of Nazareth will be given a call and will respond with fervor and faith. It's a realm where hatred cannot have the final word, but forgiveness and reconciliation will. It's the realm where we, like Mary, may be astounded when we hear God call us, and a realm where we'll discover grace in such abundance that it cannot be measured. But it's also the realm where we'll be challenged. The word ecotone from the Greek means ecology's intention. Boundary areas where two different systems meet are not always comfortable. The work and witness of Jesus is not yet complete. Isaiah's vision is not yet fulfilled, nor does Jesus promise that. Which is poignant for John the Baptist. Because Jesus also did not say to him, go tell John this, the prisoners will be released, and I am coming now to ensure that you will be freed. John would remain imprisoned. Herod would execute him. And so we also still dwell in a realm where we'll be surprised, challenged, and sometimes even disappointed. It's the realm where a rich young man turns away from Jesus when he hears just what the cost of discipleship will be. It's the realm where, again and again, we'll still find ourselves arguing about pride of place and then discover Christ at our feet, washing them. It's the realm where every prisoner has not yet been released. Every prayer for healing has not been answered as we would like. Where the tragedies of Newtown still happen. Then what kind of Messiah is this? What kind of Savior? He's one whom we need. For Jesus Christ comes not to confirm our own expectations, our own definitions, or our own perceptions of who he should be or what we need from him. Instead, he invites us to follow him, and in so doing, to discover a life that is larger than both our expectations and our disappointments. Which may be in part why he said it was essential that we not take this journey with him alone. That we will always find him where he finds us, in the midst of community. For on any given day, there will be those here whose hearts can only ask the question John asked. Are you the one to come? Those who wonder, those who doubt, those who struggle with circumstances beyond their control. And yet on that very same day, there will always be those here in our midst who can proclaim with hearts that have been healed. See, hear. The blind do receive their sight. The lame do walk. Together we make this journey, always looking to him and always listening to each other. For in a sense, all of us, every time we gather, even as we confess our faith, are asking the question, are you the one? Are you the Christ? And the answer to that question is found in this life we are given. So that even as we think we may know so well the story of this Messiah, it will always be fresh and exciting as if we're hearing it for the first time. Amen.